Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. This is your boy, Mr. FSP, doing what he got to do because he do it for you. I need you to understand one thing, that I am in charge. Oh, and when I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Oh, God.
So everybody out there, get on your feet and love me, because I love me some me.
Oh, boy.
I just quoted T.O. for a second.
What the heck is that about? What got into you today?
Well, I'm about to explain that.
Okay, go right ahead.
Ladies
this could
and
be good.
It is. Last week, on the air, and I wish I had the playback for you, I told you that the old man was going down. I told you the old man was going to get put in his place. And he did. And I was the one who did it. Now, I've got my gloating out of the way because I love me some me.
Every now and then a squirrel does find a nut.
And you found yours a little bit all this year, but now it's time for the real champion to appear.
You think so, huh? You really think so, huh?
Yes. So, with that being said, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition. We've got so much great stuff in line for you today. We're going to talk about week number 12 in the NFL. Along with a couple other things that's going on in the world of sports, I'm also going to call out, and I'm actually physically going to call a coworker of mine, a guy who's a self-proclaimed genius when it comes to football, or when it comes to sports.
Oh, really?
Yes. His name
is right?
Ernest Cornwell.
Okay.
He's from Ohio. His favorite team is the Cleveland Browns. And he's bugging me. I said, want to know why I put him on the show. And I invited him many, many times.
Why has he called in? Why is he complaining about it? I mean, I'm pretty sure you gave him the number. Why hasn't he called in?
I've offered him an opportunity to co-host the show. And much like you, Mr. Taylor, he's all talk, no balls.
Oh, you know what?
So.
Now, I don't even know why you went there, because I back up everything I say. I back up everything I say. So you don't compare me to some loser that is afraid to come on. Afraid to come on the show. Now you gave him the number, and then you got to go two steps to call him, and hopefully he'll answer.
Yeah.
Oh boy, you got to track him down.
Yeah,
you know, I wouldn't even spend my time doing that if he doesn't have enough kahunas to pick up the phone and dial a free phone call or dial a number. I mean, what? Come on. He's talking no action, obviously.
I know.
Obviously.
But I'm going to put him on the air. Once we get into this.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens. We'll see if he responds. We'll see. I just.
What are you gonna put him on air for? What are you gonna put him on air for?
Well, we're gonna see his NFL prowess, his football knowledge. Now I might have to mute him because he likes to talk a lot. I mean, you think I like to talk a lot? No, this cat can talk.
No problem.
So.
No problem. Let him talk. If he's mad enough to accept your
phone call.
I can't believe that you got to chase this guy to get him on the air. I wouldn't do it. I mean, you gave him the phone number. What the heck?
Well, I'm going to text him first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to read his reply on the air. I'm quite sure he'll have some sort of excuse as to why he can't come on.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to do right now, before we get into that, is I want to talk about the week in sports.
Okay.
Now, the big thing is President John F. Kennedy passing away.
Mm-hmm.
Or dying, being assassinated. And what
mm-hmm.
the NFL, AFL, and college football did during that week of their games when this took place. There was a whole hubbub about should they play, shouldn't they play, and Pete Rozelle decided to play. And a lot of players at the time said that was the worst decision made, But a lot of other folks are saying, I mean, this is hindsight 2020. You know, we're like 50 years removed from the situation, but we've had so many tragedies happen in the United States, to the United States since then, whereas sports has become very therapeutic and the answer for a lot of people when a tragedy happens. But some folks felt that it was a wasted weekend. They were better off just canceling the games and stuff like that. I, for one, believe that they did the right thing, because even though the tragedy did take place and took place in Dallas on Main Street, Cowboys had a game that day or that weekend, and I
mm-hmm.
believe it was against the Cleveland Browns, and it was in Dallas.
Yes.
And it was a packed stadium. So obviously people and tickets back then, you should know, Jerry, I mean, you were probably like 20 back then. Just joking. just joking.
I was in what was that, 63, I think it was?
I believe so.
I was 8 years old, man.
Well, I knew you were there. I just didn't know how old you were.
Eight years old.
You were old enough to understand what was going on.
Roughly.
Okay. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, tickets were cheap.
Yes.
And it wasn't like, you know, they would have lost a lot of money had they not gone to the game, but it was a pack house, and the game wasn't as good as it could have been. At least the players didn't feel that way, because Cleveland at the time was the more superior team and dominated the Cowboys. I believe Don Meredith was the quarterback, and he threw a pick six pretty much, and it was all over from there. But, you know, my question is more on the lines of, let's look at sports, man. Let's look at sports and discuss what it is it means to the country and to the world. I think music transcends everything. I mean, religion, politics, issues. If people can find a common ground in music, they can, you know, sit down for a little while and at least be cordial. I think football has the same common effect on a lot of people. I want to get your thoughts on that, and then from here, we're going to transition to FSU.
Well, in relation to what? What are you looking at?
Natural disasters, things that happened in American history that shook the foundation of our nation.
Yeah,
the Northwestern Michigan game in Yankee Stadium. I believe it's in Yankee Stadium. Not sure. Go ahead.
Well, there's been things that have been happening over the years that that the sport or sports have been played for more of a relief from reality and a bringing together of people, meaning like things that happened 9/11. This thing you're talking about in, back in 1963, Katrina down in New Orleans, as fast as the sport or sports, whatever specific city it took place in, could get themselves back together, meaning 9/11 or Katrina. Or in 1963, and it happened to be all these NFL teams that would, or baseball, because 9/11 had to do with baseball also, that for the most part, and we learned from 63 that it's a good idea, but you need to time it in the right way to put the major sports, meaning I'm thinking, baseball and football back on the field to give, like I said in the beginning of this, relief and a coming togetherness of people that were affected. Back in 1963, in fact, that day and age, it's not, for lack of a better word, as touchy and feely as it is today. Not as politically correct as it is today. We're talking 50 years ago. Different mindset, a lot more crudeness, and a lot more unawareness of the feelings of different people. So it didn't surprise me that the NFL decided to go on with the game, even though players didn't agree with it. And back then, players weren't regarded and weren't even close to making the amount of money that they're making today. And they were treated a lot more like a piece of meat, for lack of a better word, back then. And you'll do what I say you do because I'm paying you. And if you don't play here, you'll never play anywhere else type of attitude. So it doesn't surprise me. It was a bad idea at the time because I know the disasters down in New Orleans, it affected a lot of people. I know that the disaster that happened in New York affected a lot of people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying this, but for a president to get assassinated in a major city, I think that and I'm not downplaying these two other disasters I'm talking about. It takes precedent because of how it happened and where it happened and who it happened to. And that's really the big key, who it happened to. One of the Camelot sons, one of the so-called unanointed but anointed prince or king of the United States, the Kennedy family. So there was a lot of things going on, and it rubbed some people the wrong way when Roselle decided to play the game.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It did. And I did an interview with, I can't remember the guy's name. At the time, the kid was a young sports writer and became pretty famous because he fell off as of late. But I'm going to bring in my cousin real quick and get his idea on this. And, Mike,
of course
you weren't born, you didn't, you know, see the things like Jerry saw and stuff like that with President Kennedy's assassination. But based upon the need for sports or athletics or music, whatever it is that brings people together, you know, in the face of tragedy. What do you think about, you know, events like that going on, football games going on after tremendous issues such as the president's assassination, such as a typhoon, or 9/11, or Katrina. What are your thoughts about, you know, that happening within a few days of each other?
Like Jerry said, you know, back then it was a totally different time, you know. I'm very much, you know, removed from, you know, that era, but it didn't change that much by the time I, you know, became aware of life. You know, it hadn't changed that much, but as I've gotten older, it's just changed just dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just like ridiculously now. I honestly don't have an issue with it unless it's, you know, something that, you know, destroys and, you know, a whole city or an area, i.e. like Katrina, you know, for them not to play there or whatever. But I think we've become way too touchy-feely about it now. I really don't see if, like, you know, God forbid something to happen to, you know, Obama, I don't think we should, you know, I don't think the game should stop. And that might sound cold or whatever. I mean, there should be, you know, a memoriam, and, you know, a moment of silence or whatever. But, I mean, it's sports. It's just sports. You know, if the game is, you know, able to be played by the players and, you know, their families are fine and stuff like that, nothing more than a memoriam, you know, a moment of silence, you know, a couple of good, kind words, that's enough. I mean, because the thing about it is life goes on. In all my 40 years, that's the first thing that, you know, that I've learned. You know, through whatever tragedy, life must go on. And that is the message. You know, life must go on. Things must go on. We have to, you know, pick up the pieces and put it together the best way we can. But if we're going to sit there and, you know, and just agonize over the pieces, you know what I'm saying, then we won't progress. I recognize the fact that, you know, it has to be, you know, respect given and respect due and stuff like that. But the more time you spend on that, you're disrespecting the fact that, you know, life goes on. You must go on. You must pick up and you must walk on.
So, in essence, and I think we're all saying this, that resilience, which is one of the foundations of this country, is
mm-hmm.
something that we all share. And part of that resiliency, as Michael said, which is to keep life moving. Yes, tragic events take place, but in order to be resilient and not crumble under the guise of tyranny or the pressure of oppression, you got to keep moving your life forward and deal with things as they come. And, you know, I can agree with that. And I was listening to this radio station when I was taking the kids to school. It's a Christian radio station called K-Love. And it's based out of here in California. And some people were saying, would the world have been a better place had Kennedy not been assassinated? And then there were those that said, because he was assassinated, the world is a better place. And Jerry, you grew up. You were 8 years old when this took place. So you, out of all of us, have a better understanding of what the world was like then and how this tragic incident actually changed the way the world is. And we got. I want you to talk about that for maybe 2-3 minutes if you can. I mean, take as long as you want. But
mm-hmm.
what do you think about that? Is the world
well,
a better place because of what's happening, or could it have been better?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm gonna add two other players to this too.
Okay.
I don't think, and I think I have to group these three guys together because the fact is, because of what happened to each one of these guys, it produced, in my opinion, a more awareness of different peoples and what we need to do or what we can try to do to make things better for all. And I'm talking about, quite naturally, John F. Kennedy. And then his brother, Robert F. Kennedy. And I'm talking about Martin Luther King. Because the fact is Martin Luther King was coming on the scene and was prominent when John F. Kennedy passed away, got assassinated. And quite naturally, they were, he was, meaning John F. Kennedy, was trying to push the equal opportunity for everyone, which rubbed a lot of good old boys the wrong way, for one, and was highly resistive in the United States. So with the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and which followed by his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, which followed by Martin Luther King. Now, these are three prominent guys, but I'm not leaving out Medgar Evers because he was in that too. But these were three prominent guys that pretty much opened the eyes of a lot of people, because the fact is what these guys stood for and what they were trying to do to push the country forward, and with the type of resistance that was being put on TV at the time, that was put in the press at the time, that was waking up America to the things that were not right. So I'd have to group all three of these guys together, and I think because of JF passing away, it was pretty much a chain effect with his brother getting assassinated and with Martin Luther King getting assassinated. That's why I have to group them all together, because I think if John F. K. wasn't ever assassinated, I think his brother would probably not gotten assassinated, and quite naturally, I don't think Martin Luther King would got assassinated, because these guys were progressively trying to move the country in a different direction. And there were a lot of forces that didn't want to go there.
Okay. So, in essence, and I just want to boil it down to a yes or no, because I want to move on. In essence, what I'm hearing is because these three gentlemen were assassinated, life is better in our world because of...
Well, I mean, yeah, because the fact is these guys... along with a lot of other guys, these guys I think were pretty prominent in trying to progress the country to a more equal opportunity country, more aware of everyone needs to be on the same even playing field versus one race being a superior race and everyone else is subservient to that. And I think that's one of the main reasons that these three individuals are no longer on this earth.
Okay. All right. I mean, I didn't want to do a somber note here, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but that's my feelings.
Well, no. That's why I asked you, because
mm-hmm.
you actually grew up during
yes.
that time. Michael
Absolutely.
And I, you know, we came in... when things started to make a change or shift, there was still a lot of resentment and a lot of bad things going on. But
let me give you a quick story.
Okay.
Today's my mother's birthday. She's 88.
Oh, happy birthday,
whatever.
Ms. Taylor.
Yes, today's my mother's birthday. So as I was talking to her this morning, she said one of my younger brothers called her and asked her. And this is the first time any one of us have ever asked her about it. And he happened to ask her what she was doing at the time that she heard that Kennedy got assassinated. She said that she was in the kitchen feeding one of my younger brothers, who's since passed away. But she was feeding one of my younger brothers. And when she heard it, and when she heard about it, she grabbed my younger brother, walked out the back door into the middle of the front, backyard, and started screaming and crying. That's how much of effect this man, because we as a people, okay, I'm talking about African Americans in particular, knew what this guy was trying to do, and they just. Whoever it was, took him away. So.
Yep. And again, Mama Taylor, thank you very much. We appreciate you because you helped Jerry with his baseball pick.
No, she didn't.
Football
pick. No, my mother helped me in my life. Let me put it that way. Okay.
Yes, she helps you in your life. But I want to move on, and I'm taking a quick commercial. I'm going to change the mood, and I don't want to jump into a different mood just like that. But I'm going to say a commercial. When I come back, we're going to call up Ernest. Ernest on the line as we get ready to talk about a little fantasy football. Bigger Stay, we'll be right back.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition. On the line with me, Mr. FSP, would be my regular co-host, JTATM Money, as well as my cousin, Macau. And what's going to happen right now is this. Set this up at the top of the show. I put Jerry in his place from last.
Okay.
And we also discussed. Yeah, I know. We also discussed a young man or a gentleman that I work with who claims to be a football sports guru. Now he's talked all this trash. He's said, you know. If I put him on, the ratings will go up. Now, the guy knows some sports. I don't know if he is as intellectually gifted in sports as he claims to be, but I've given him advice, and he's used it, and he's won. But his name is Ernest Cornwell. I told him I was going to call him.
He plays fantasy football?
He plays fantasy football. He plays fantasy baseball, but football is his thing.
He hasn't enjoyed any of our league, though, right?
No, he's not, because he doesn't play for big money. That's
he doesn't have
thing.
To.
I know. Well, but here's what I'm going to do. We're going to call him right now. I told him I was going to call him. We'll call him around the air.
Mm-hmm.
I text him. I told him I was calling him. I even gave him the call-in number. Let's see if he picks up. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And one Mississippi. Two Mississippi. I don't think he's going to pick up.
Nope.
What do you think, sir? I'm going to let it go to his answering, sir, so we can leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to work on Monday, he can't say...
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 360 7900928 is not available.
Bye-bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Phone number out there, Ernest. Mr. Cornwell, Ernest.
You have no balls.
One. That will be my co-host, JT ATM Money. We are calling you live on our radio show, calling you out. You have no balls. That's what JT said.
Mm-hmm.
I text you. I told you during the week I was going to let you come on the air. And where are you, man? Where are you?
Give him the number to call back.
Before we hang up?
Give him the number
to
call back.
If you want to call us back. Okay, I text you the number. If you want to call us back, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that's 347-637-3220. We got about 59 minutes left of this show, so that means about, 12 o'clock our time, you know, you won't be able to call in. But you're here. We're here waiting for that expertise, bro. Waiting for that expertise, calling you out. And I'm going to make sure Edward hears it so you can't hide it. Anything else, Jerry, before I hang up on him?
Say bye.
Bye, Ernest. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I thought Ernest was going to pick up. Told me.
I didn't think he would.
Well, it is what it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me ask you a question. Did he respond to your text?
No, he did not.
Okay. Theirs is out. I'm telling you right now. Theirs is out.
Theirs is out?
Yeah, theirs is out. I never got the test I was hung up and never got the text in time. Theirs is out.
Okay.
Unless
right,
he calls back, then I'll be mistaken. But I don't think he's calling back. Otherwise, he would have called already.
I agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is, and I'm going to do something a little different today, only because this is the way I started the show. Let Jerry know who I am.
Oh, God.
Absolute
you know.
Power. Corrupt. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's go!
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor. Not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
It is that time, ladies and gentlemen, NFL Week. Week number 12. Before we get into that, JT and I have another wager on the line. We lost last week. And this week, even though I'm favored to win, looking at his lineup, it kind of worries me. So I only did half of that wager. I'll get
half. I call it a half-ass wager. You rather
whatever.
Go with the 50 versus the Benjamin because you
which
have
–
One nut instead of two.
But you know what? Part of that is also, I'm going to win my Arizona Cardinal bet. You just might win your Detroit Lion bet. And then the winner of this bet will get $50. So that's what I'm looking at.
Whoopee-damn-do. You ever heard of Derek Coleman? Whoopee-damn-do. Whoopee-damn-do.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Now it's getting like that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Real quick, Michael, you are the impartial judge. I need your feedback on this one game before we start talking about the NFL schedule. Now, again, teams seem lopsided. I mean, really lopsided. However, I want you to tell me which team you think is going to win. Ready?
Yep.
Mike, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
One team. Robert Griffin III, Jamal Charles, Chris Agbayani, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, Greg Olsen, Chad Greenway, Thomas Davis, Bernard Pollard, Cowboys defense, and Jay Feely. That's one team. The other team, Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, Bobby Rainey, Roddy White, Josh Gordon, Vernon Davis, James Laurinaitis, Danny Trevathan, Eric Berry, the Jets defense, and Nick Folk. Which team do you think is favored to win this week, and which team would you pick to win this week?
I like that first team. That first team sounds a little bit, it's a little bit more solid, but that's both teams are tight. Both teams are tight. But I'm going to go with that first team.
Okay. Well, the first team happens to be Jerry's team, and the second team is my team. Projections have Jerry as a 13-point underdog to my team. Now, I can agree and disagree on that. I can agree in this manner. The teams that Jerry's players are playing are very tough defensive teams. San Francisco, San Diego, Pittsburgh. Dez Bryant has never been a breakout player versus the Giants. Calvin Johnson is going to be on Revis Island this week. Greg Olsen is going against Miami. Greenway and Davis, tackling machine, but they're going against Green Bay and Miami. Bernard Pollard is facing Oakland, so I don't know what's going to happen there. The Cowboys have a bad defense, but who knows what's going to happen with them this year, in this game. And Jay Feely is going against Indianapolis, which isn't a bad move. But that's the players his team faces. Of course, I've got the majority of easier teams, whereas Tampa takes on Detroit, like 1, 2, 3. Three of my players played in one game. Roddy White already played against Atlanta. He got the numbers he was projected to get. Josh Gordon goes against Pittsburgh, kind of worried there. The Vernon Davis versus the Redskins defense, I'm giving that to Vernon Davis all day. Laurinaitis versus Chi-Town, I think he's gonna have a big game. That's the game of the Long brothers. Howie Long's two boys that play football go against each other in that game, offensive line and defensive line. Then we've got Danny Trevathan, who's been a beast all year long, and he's going against Brady. So he's going to have plenty of opportunities to make tackles or make plays. Now, the Jets defense and Jets kicker versus Baltimore, that's what I'm kind of worried about. Baltimore came on against Chicago in that hurricane, tornado, whatever it was, last week. Can it happen that the Ravens turn that corner and go do pretty well versus that number 6 Jets run defense? I don't know. I know they can't throw on them, but can they run on them? So that's my question there. But with that being said, honest to goodness, JTAT and money, you'll get your ass beat again. I'm just saying.
With a half-assed bet, but that's okay. I consider the source. That's no problem.
Well, the source told you last week what was going to happen, and it happened, didn't it?
Well,
all right.
You lucked out, but that's okay. Like I said, every now and then a squirrel does find a nut, but we'll see what happens. All I can say is this. Out of the 11 teams I have, I'm out of the playoffs in two of them. And of the teams that I do have, I'm either first, second, third, or fourth. And I'm in the playoffs. So regardless if you win one game, two games, or three games from me, the overall picture I'm looking at is multiple monetary championships. That's all I'm looking at.
Okay.
I told you at the beginning of the season, I'm winning multiple championships what happened last season was a fluke, and I'm taking it out on whoever is in the same league as I am.
Jerry, you say that every year, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way, Victor.
I actually did it last year.
On a fluke, but that's okay. That's okay. That's the first time you've won a championship since I've been playing fantasy football with you. You know that, right? Last year? You know that.
That's fine. Okay. I have a long history, and I have over 13 championships, so I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
But, hey, let's move on. I don't want somebody to get their chaps all up their butt because they're old, and, you know.
I'm just saying.
All right, here's how we're going to do it, guys. Here's how we're going to do it. Mike, you're going to be first. Then we got Jerry and me. And the first game on the docket, I'm predicting, and I know it's going to happen. I'm predicting a win for the Bucks as Tampa Bay goes to Detroit. And Tampa Bay, here's my reason behind this, ladies and gentlemen. Tampa Bay went up to Seattle. In Seattle. Put up, I believe, 27, 28 points and almost beat the Seahawks. Last week, almost. Gotcha. But that's the best team in the NFL. Well, one of the best teams in the NFL. Comes back the next week, puts up a 30-plus burger on Atlanta, and wins
Who sucks? Sucks. Same record as Tampa Bay. Sucks. Bad. Horrible.
Okay, but Seattle didn't suck and does not suck. They go to the bankrupt city, Detroit, and take on the Lions on that AstroTurf. As I said before, Reggie Bush is a beast on that AstroTurf. But for whatever reason, Mr. Schwartz doesn't like him that much because he fumbled one time versus Pittsburgh, and he didn't see the light of day until Joe Bell got injured. And that is a scary, scary thing for fantasy owners as well as for people that support Detroit Lions because Reggie Bush is the key to their success and continue winning. I'm not saying he's going to have a bad game. Hopefully he does not. But I believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win this game. Let's go, Mike.
You said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and who?
Detroit Tampa. Lions.
Were they playing in Detroit?
Detroit.
No brainer. Detroit should take that.
Okay.
Week 12, week 13, week 15, week 16. Four of the last six games that the Detroit Lions are playing, they're playing home. I'm guaranteed for them to get their seventh win, and I guarantee that they will win this game without a doubt. Without a doubt. As you said, Reggie Bush is a beast on turf, so was Calvin Johnson, and especially at home. Now, true, Reggie Bush had a tough go at it last week. He seemed like he was stuck in mud, but he has played well in the mud last week, and he just happened to fumble. If he's only had three fumbles all year, I know it's three, but he only had three fumbles all year, and he already come out. I don't know if you heard this or not. Already come out and said, "I guarantee you, I will not fumble again this year." So I'm loving, and I know you got Reggie Bush, but I'm loving Reggie Bush and the Detroit Lions in this game. Tampa Bay's got a tough defense, but Detroit's got too much offense.
All right. I mean, hey, you know, if Detroit explodes on them, I win either way. But I still think Tampa Bay's going to win the game. So we'll see. Moving on to the next game on the docket. Minnesota at Green Bay. Now, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Adrian Peterson has been battling a growing injury. There is speculation there is speculation that Toby Gerhart will be getting a lot more touches. Greg Jennings returns to Green Bay, where I know he's not going to get to maybe four or five targets. But Scott Tolzien, I'm looking at him throwing another pick six or two. He's a good quarterback. Just not the man they call Rodgers. With Randall Cobb saying, you know, I might not be coming back as soon as I wanted to, that kills it for a lot of fantasy owners who kept him on their IR or whatever the case may be, thinking he'll be back for the playoffs, which is coming up for a lot of people. Some people have the playoffs starting 13, 14. I personally do 15, 16, and 17 because I allow 16s to play for the money. But this is a game that, in my opinion, Minnesota comes up on. Yes, it's in Green Bay. No, it's not the man they call Rodgers. AP will be running. I don't know how much truth is it that Gerhardt's going to start chipping away at his carries and whatnot, but it's going to be tough sled for those Packers. I know Eddie Lacy's that beast. This is a matchup for the running game. Matchup for the running game. AP versus Eddie Lacy. We'll see who has the biggest set and who comes out. But I'm picking Minnesota. Go ahead, Mike.
Tough game. It's a tough game to call right here. You can flip a coin and say who's going to win it. And the only reason is because Mr. Rodgers isn't in his neighborhood. But I'm still going to go with the Pack. In the home, but it ain't gonna be by much.
Okay, all right. This we had talked, Mike and I, Mikel and I have talked about this before the season started, and it's coming to fruition. We talked about two running backs that have a lot of mileage on their legs, and one of them saying that he was going to get 2,500, which I knew that was nowhere to be found. I just knew
right.
that. And right. the fact is, over accumulation of what he's been doing, what I've said, what we were talking about, said he's going to take a downturn. And he has taken a downturn. He's not even going to get 1,500 yards this year. He's not going to get 1,500 yards. He's coming up a lame now, and wouldn't be surprised if somewhere in the near future they shut him down so he doesn't sustain something more catastrophic. In my opinion, this is a no-brainer to me. Christian Ponder led Minnesota Vikings, who is one of the most despised and hated quarterbacks of the NFL in my eyes. Because he's just so inept, and I can't understand why they keep pushing this guy out there, giving him every opportunity to fail when he hasn't proved anything remotely like he can take this team to the next level. Scott Tolzien has been playing better. He's going to be even more comfortable playing in Green Bay. He's got, what, three games under his belt now, if I'm not mistaken? Excuse me?
I believe it's two.
This will be the third game, right?
Yeah, this will be the third game.
That's what I'm talking about. This will be the third game. So he's gotten better, progressively better with each game. I can't say that about Christian Ponder. And he's going in Green Bay, hostile environment, division game, and Green Bay needs this in the worst way. Trying to tread water until Aaron Rodgers gets back, it ain't happening for Minnesota. They're going down, and they're going down by at least 10 points in this game. Green Bay.
All right. Let's move on. Jacksonville goes to the H-Town, body-knocking, rocking the boots. Again, ladies and gentlemen, whatever team is Taylor Sarge's sports cancel Christmas.
Yeah.
Just saying, you might even see a 200-yard gain from MJD.
Cancel Christmas.
But
that's pretty good.
What I'll say is this. Jacksonville, you know, everybody knows they're in shambles. They got it. So what do they have to lose? Not much. Cecil Short has been yapping about he needs more targets. He wants more targets. He should have more targets. Usually that means he's going to get more targets. And that spells doom for Jonathan Joseph and whoever the other cornerback is in Houston. And here's the other problem. On the sideline last week of the Houston game, the usually quiet Andre Johnson is ripping into his former starting quarterback, Matt Schaub.
Big time.
And then he pulls a Randy Moss.
Walks off the field.
Well, I mean, walks off of the field before the game is over. There is big time Jerry Tight turmoil in Houston. I'm going to reserve my pick until after everybody's over. Go ahead, Mike.
I ain't saying nothing until I hear Mr. Jerry.
So no problem.
He is the president of Houston Texans, and I need to understand what's going on. We got coaches having heart attacks and whatnot, you know, on the field. We got quarterbacks, you know, getting replaced and taken out, throwing interceptions. We got dudes, you know, doing their Randy Moss imitations, walking off. I mean, I don't know. I mean, please, I need to understand, sir.
Well, let me put it this way. This team is in, I wouldn't say shambles, but it's close to it. I understood what the coach was doing, but I didn't understand it. He was trying to provide a spark, hopefully, that his veteran quarterback it could come in there and provide a spark. But the team as a whole, which includes his all-pro wide receiver, has turned away from Matt Schaub. They're feeling Casey Keenum a lot. You can see the difference in play when the rookie's in there. And it's unbelievable, but it's absolutely true. Than when Matt Schaub gets in there, you can see the body language when the quarterback Case Keenum misses a wide receiver versus Matt Schaub. You see the head goes down, the shrug of the shoulders, like and the whole act when Matt Schaub either overthrows or underthrows a wide receiver when he came in there. So I didn't understand why he did it. It was a bad move, the panic move, in my opinion, and it could have cost the team a win because they didn't lose by much in that game. They lost, but they didn't lose by much in that game, and he didn't stick with the kid, which I think he's not going to make that mistake again because the fact is of what happened on the sidelines. And we don't know what took place after that game in the locker room or during the week of practice leading up to this game about putting Schaub in there. Because I think the team, not the coaches, but the team has turned away from Matt Schaub. Don't want him in there. Don't want him anywhere on the field unless Case Keenum gets hurt. That's the only way he's going to get in there. And then he may not get in there. T.J. Yates may get in there because the fact is I think – they don't want anything to do with Matt Schaub at all. I'm picking the Houston Texans in this game because they're playing Jacksonville. It's a division rivalry. I understand that. But Case Keenum is in my opinion, is the future of this team. He's got a more of a gunslinger attitude. He's not afraid to take chances, which I think you need to do because you do have good wide receivers on the end with a solid running game. And that, in turn, helps the defense. I like Jacksonville to lose this game. They play Jacksonville the next two out of the three games home. They play Jacksonville at home. Then they play New England. Then they play Jacksonville away. I like Case Keenum absolutely in this game. I like the Houston Texans. It's not going to be easy because this team is not what it used to be for whatever reason. A lot of things have happened, but I like the Texans in this game.
Why did they go with that youngin over T.J. Yates? Because I was thinking that Yates was going to be that dude.
Well, let me put it this way. And I had talked about him before. This kid, I think, is a better passer. And he's more accurate than T.J. Yates. And he's not afraid to take chances of pushing the ball down the field versus T.J. Yates has a tendency to do the Matt Sharp thing and be conservative and be Mr. Checkdown. So.
Okay. Right,
Mike.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
Other than, I'm going to go with Houston. I'm going with the analysis of Mr. Jerry.
All right, well, here's what I got.
I know you're going to Jackson, so go right ahead. I know you, Vic. I know you.
Yeah, I know. But last year and this year when we were breaking down the AFC West, I made a proclamation that Houston had a two-year window to make it to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said Andrew Luck and the Colts were going to take over that division within a couple years. I was 1 year off. 1 year. Andrew Luck and the Colts are built currently to lead that division for several years to come. Houston, I saw it in a couple years ago. I saw the breakdown. I saw that things just weren't quite right in Houston. And I like Houston. I really do. But I saw that they're just missing the it back.
Quarterback.
Andrew Luck, he brings...
Quarterback.
Well, whatever it is, mm-hmm. Andrew Luck brings the it factor to that team. Now, another thing, the Colts have decided that, well, Donald Brown's going to get a lot more touches because your boy, Trent Richardson, is a little nicked up. Okay, he's nicked up, but that if he's nicked up now and he was getting a lot of his time taken away from Donald Brown, guess what's going to happen now? Probably going to see Trent Richardson maybe once or twice. Maybe like on a series, but that's it. With Houston, you're dealing with a halfback that has four cracked ribs, but he's getting it out. You're dealing with a quarterback that went to the University of Houston, so he's familiar with the city. He's loved in the city. He's very contagious. His attitude and his gameplay is very contagious. But the problem is, as a whole, Houston isn't there. And I think Houston's going to run into three straight losses starting this week. Jacksonville, New England, then Jacksonville again. I really think so. Because of the turmoil. They're looking at the Cowboy-type turmoil. And that's saying a lot. Cowboy-like turmoil. So I'm picking Jacksonville to win this game.
I figured you would.
Right.
I just knew that.
Well, hey, I like Houston. But right now, they've got too many issues. Coach having a semi-heart attack.
Had a mini stroke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the backup quarterback who was the starting quarterback having a blow up on the sideline publicly with the star receiver that doesn't normally make noise, and then that guy also walks off before the game's over. The defense isn't what it used to be. There's too many holes in Houston. And Jacksonville, they're slowly but surely bringing it together. Slowly but surely. So I'm going to pick Jacksonville in the upset in this one. I might be wrong because it's in Houston, but they're going to win one of these two games coming up. All right, let's move on. Now, this is a game that you're going to see one team go up and one team go down. At the beginning of the year, San Diego Superchargers were just that, supercharged. They've run into the meat of their schedule, and now they're having some difficulty. It started when they lost to the Redskins a couple weeks ago. Last week, I believe they won. The San Diego win for the San Diego. They played Miami and they beat Miami.
No, Miami
just
won.
Because they, oh, Miami won?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So I think they're on a three-game losing streak, two-game losing streak, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did something they had not done in a long time that they needed to do, which was feed Ryan Matthews. And that kept them in the game. That kept them in the game. Even though San Diego isn't a run-first team, and Kansas City has a very stout run defense, they need to feed Ryan Matthews. And this is weird for me to say it, but they need to keep Alex Smith off on the sideline. I would never really think to say that, but his leadership, he's a modern-day Chad Pennington. You know what I mean? He's not going to scare you, but he just wins. So,
right.
I'm going to pick Kansas City in this game. It's at Arrowhead, and they're coming off that loss to Denver. So I'm picking Kansas City to win this game. Mike.
It's Kansas City and who?
San Diego.
I like Kansas City in this. But look for San Diego to try to make this a shootout. Look for them to try to make it a shootout. But I think that defense of Kansas City, they're gonna stop the Chargers and take that thing on home. Kansas City.
Okay.
Arrowhead Stadium. They're pissed off because they got beat by Denver. San Diego and Phillip Rivers don't play too well in Kansas City. Kansas City, easy.
Down to a team that's extremely hot, El Caliente right now. They're everybody's sweet pick. They're jumping on the bandwagon. And I see this team very much like the Washington Redskins for many reasons. One, they have a very popular and very charismatic quarterback. They have a wide receiver who's not afraid to tell you or him how they feel. And you have a defense that's doing their best, but sometimes it's not good enough. Sometimes you got to face guard and hold in order to get a win. Got to get a non-flag that was a flag pulled up. I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers facing the Miami Dolphins. I don't know what's up with Miami. I really don't. Mike Wallace, when they did, Jack Scrapp, Brian Hartline, and just possession guy, and Rasheed Matthews is hit or miss. I don't trust anybody on their team. Lamar Miller, Daniel Thomas, I don't know. I have no trust or confidence in this team. And Carolina is on a hot streak. They're on a hot streak. I'm going to predict two wild cards are going to be Arizona and Carolina. If I'm wrong, it'll be Carolina and San Fran. But I don't think San Fran is going to pull it out. I think San Fran is going to make the playoffs this year, and Arizona is going to take their place. I really, really think that's going to happen this year. But Carolina at Miami, I have Carolina in the stand. Go ahead, Mike.
I know exactly what's going on with Miami. There's been, this summer I have been harping on just three coaches. Just three. There's only three of them that I've been harping on ever since the summer. Only one of them is making me wrong. The other two, they're being exactly who I thought they were. The one is coach down there in Tampa Bay. He's terrible. Always look at that. Number two for the bullet, it's the coach in Miami. He sucks. That is the absolute reason why Miami sucks. And they will continue to suck with that dude as the head coach. That is what's wrong with him. Exactly what's wrong with him. So I want to see him go down and burn in the flame. Oh, the third coach is Rivera down there in Carolina. He's turning it around. I don't know what he's doing. He's passing out 5-hour energy drinks or something. I don't know. He's doing something. But I just cannot go with Miami at all. At all. I think this coach is a joke. I think he's a clown. He has very piss poor leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at coaches, you know, the first thing I'm asking myself, is this a leader of men? Is this a leader of men? With him, the answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can tell by what's going on with this incognito thing and the other offensive linemen. That's just a mess. It's just a mess, man. They are disgusting. I like Miami. Truthfully, I've always kind of sadly rooted for Miami ever since Marino or whatever back in the day. But I don't know what's going on with this franchise. I really don't. I really don't. Except for the fact when I say I don't know what's going on, I don't know why they are behind this coach. This coach should have been let go last year after his first season. He was disgusting, terrible. I think that Carolina Panthers should go in here and run up the score. That's what I'm looking for. But what will probably happen is they'll win it by 10 or 14, 14 or 10 points. Carolina.
Well, they're on a six-game winning streak. They're going into Miami after playing a New England Patriot team. I'm looking for a letdown. I'm thinking that I'm going to get a letdown. I think Miami's going to give them up a stiff fight. I'm still torn. I'm still really torn in this game. I want to pick Carolina, but I six games, I know they have a six-game winning streak, but just when you think Carolina has turned the corner, they let a team like Miami beat them. Wow. This is really a toss-up game for me. You know what? I'm probably going to be wrong about this, but I'll go Carolina. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
You're going to pick Carolina?
Yeah. I'm torn because the fact is I'm just going by sheer quarterback. That's it, because the fact is this team on the road – at times can throw in a real clunker. I'm talking about Carolina. So I'm just going by the quarterback will help them pull out a win. So I'll go with Carolina. I'm probably wrong about this, but I'll go with Carolina.
Okay. Well, this next game, I wanted to get Mr. Cornwell on the line so we can discuss it. I'll just do it like this. Stalking gas food, walking Jack Moon. Stalking gas food, walking Jack Moon. Woke up with this morning, excuse me, woke up in the morning with the thought of robbing a bank to get rich. It ain't nothing for the... Basically, what I'm saying is, Cleveland is about to get gapped by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is talk about Ben Roethlisberger deciding he wants to be traded, he wants to leave. I don't know what it is. Jericho Cotchery is showing up as the number one. And I think I said this at the end of the year, and Jerry was like, no. That's why they kept Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders. Jericho Cotchery is the number one receiver in Pittsburgh because he's shorthanded.
No. I'll give you some statistics, but go ahead.
Wait a minute. Antonio Brown is a hit or miss guy. Week to week, he is not consistent. Ben is finding consistency in country. Cleveland, on the other side, they were doing well last week. I don't know what got into North Turner's head, thinking that Jason Campbell can throw 55. Riding rainstorm in Cincinnati and beat those guys. as opposed to just slamming it down their throat. And Cam Jordan only got, what, five passes thrown his way, and they were all in the second half. I don't know what's up with Cleveland. I really don't know what's up with Cleveland, but I know they're at home. I know there's supposed to be some bad weather. Le'Veon Bell is a hit or miss problem. Pittsburgh. Big Ben puts on another show this week. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh for my because of my utter disdain with Norvell Turner. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Jason Campbell, but Norvell is gonna take the cake. So I'm definitely going with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm gonna steal a line from you, Mikal. There it goes. Vic again, not knowing what he's talking about.
What? What? Okay.
Antonio Brown is the number one wide receiver. Now, let me give you some statistics there, Mr. Gardner, before you even interrupt what I have to say.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you let Antonio, you know
I'm interrupt. Antonio Brown has 74 receptions on 105 targets with 952 yards and 5 touchdowns. Okay. Jericho Cotchery, 34 receptions, less than half the amount of receptions Antonio Brown has. 49 targets, not even half of the targets Antonio Brown has. 503 yards. Okay, he looks for him in the red zone. He has 7 touchdowns. That's the only.
Oh, there we go right there.
Wait a minute. So. Just because he has more touchdowns doesn't mean he's the number one wide receiver. Antonio Brown.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Number one wide receiver.
Yes, you did.
No, I said he's more comfortable. I said Antonio Brown is not a number one wide receiver.
You said that Jericho Cotchery has become the number one wide receiver. That's what you said. That's exactly what you said.
We'll listen to it later. But basically what you just spouted off were the stats, and they are very accurate and stuff like that. Percentage-wise, Cotchery has caught, 80-some-odd percent of his passes thrown his way, 7 of them for touchdowns. Antonio Brown has caught roughly, 75 percent of his passes thrown his way. And
do you know why? Do you know why, Mr. Gardner? The reason why is because, wait a minute, the reason why that percentage is different because of the type of plays that Antonio Brown is in versus Jericho Cotchery.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho Cotchery is usually in short yardage plays and short passes versus the fact because Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders can stretch the field longer passes, which takes away the percentage of the amount of catches he makes because of whatever happens, circumstances downfield. An overthrow. Or maybe the defense has gotten to the spot and deflected the pass. So when you say that he is the number one wide receiver or has become that or became the main target, you have to look the type of plays that each one of these wide receivers run. And so what your analysis is, and I'll go to what Mikal has normally said, your analysis is flawed. It's flawed. No, it's not. It's flawed.
Because Antonio Brown, and I want you to make your pick, and I don't want to get in this. We only got like 15 minutes left alive there. Antonio Brown got all those receptions, stuff like that. They were losing. They didn't do much. When Ben started focusing on Cotchery, it opened up other opportunities for Emmanuel Sanders, for your boy Antonio Brown, even though Brown was getting all those targets.
How about going the other way, Victor, because Brown stretches the field, Cotchery comes underneath it, and because it's opened up. So that's the way it works.
Ben knows that Brown's not going to catch the ball. But make your pick.
No, because the fact is Now they have Antonio stretching the field, so everybody's afraid of Antonio Brown, and they try to roll the coverage to him, and Jericho Cotri is in the middle and picks up whatever pieces are scraps.
I can understand that. I'm not debating that. I'm just saying he's not a real number one receiver. That's the bottom line.
Okay. But okay. In fact, I think he's got the most targets. He's got the most receptions or targets in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong
and
about
that.
And
how does that help him in the Pro Bowl balloting? Okay, keep moving.
That's the popularity contest, too. You know that, don't you? Come on. Come on.
Be real, Victor.
Be real.
Will you please, Victor?
Again, your analysis is flawed.
No, it's not. Keep going. All right, keep going.
I'm fine.
You know what? Since you're not going to keep going, since you're not, would you rather have Megatron or Antonio Brown?
You're deflecting the issue. No, I'm not. We're talking about number one receivers, aren't we?
Since you don't want to answer the question.
I'm talking about the number one receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm asking you
to pick your number one receiver, since you're going to say this guy is such a number one, and I'm saying he's not a real number one. Would you pick him with all these targets, all these receptions, because he has more than Megatron? Would you pick him over Megatron? Yes or no? That's an easy yes or no.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yes or no?
That's a no-brainer, Victor. And you know, that's a very limited question. And you want to answer something like from something like that? What I'm talking about, he's the number one wide receiver, which you claim Jericho Cotri was. I'm telling you, Antonio Brown is the
number
one.
Can you pick either Cleveland or Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I can. You want me to? I pick Pittsburgh. How's that? I pick Pittsburgh. No problem.
Ass wipe. Jesus. All right, I had to correct your flawed analysis. It wasn't flawed. Shut up.
Hey, Jeremy,
it was very flawed. Again, Victor, it was very flawed.
Hey, Jerry,
I just proved it.
Jerry, you got ease up off that. You know, it don't never end well. He getting his feelings, and you get to muting people and whatnot.
You know what? You know what? Y'all both gonna get muted. Be quiet. All right, moving on. All right, check it out. Good game.
Go ahead.
This is a family affair game right here. Mm-hmm. Chicago goes to St. Louis, and all game long, I say I'm predicting maybe 70% of the snaps. Long versus long. Offensive guard versus defensive end. The younger long, Kyle, is 313 pounds, 6'4". The older brother, Chris, is 75 to 78, something like that. And they're going to bang heads. Now, St. Louis isn't a slouch defense. Josh McNown has stepped in admirable for Jay Cutler. Now, you're looking at several things in this game. Zach Stacy is a bowling ball. I'm going to use something that Warren Sapp says. Bowling ball, butcher knives, whatever the hell he says. I don't remember. But he's a tough guy, and I said that at the beginning of the season when we were doing our breakdowns of the NFC West, that this kid would eventually be the starting tailback, and I actually drafted him in a few leagues, but due to needs and whatnot, it dropped him. But he's proven me right. On the same token, we put Matt Forte on AstroTurf with a run-heavy package or a pass situation. He's Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, Marshall Faulk, right there on AstroTurf. And you got 2'6" guys, physical guys, and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffries going against Courtland Finnegan, who's physical, But then on the other side, you got Janoris Jenkins going against Alshon Jeffries. That's the matchup right there that you want to look at, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's the long versus long, but it's Alshon Jeffries versus Janoris Jenkins. That's where your money's going to be made in this game. And because Jenkins isn't that great of a corner or that good of a corner, and I think Alshon Jeffries in college was that beast, and he's turning into that beast, I'm picking Chicago to turn this into a shootout. And this game also features two of the best, or one up-and-coming return man with speed, and one that holds the all-time record for returns, Devin Hester and Tavon Austin. I'm picking Chicago to win this game. Go ahead, Mike.
I have definitely soured on Mr. Brandon Marshall. I think he's a,
what?
I think he's a, yeah, oh yeah. I think he's a diva. I think all you gotta do is really hit him really good, and you know all his makeup will fall right off, or his slip will start, or will continue to show. But however, I do like McNown. You know, I like the way that kid is playing right now. I like the head coach there. He's kind of got the mad quiet scientist thing going on over there, and he's got them boys playing. However, I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals on this one.
I mean the Rams.
Oh, it's the Rams? I thought it was the Cardinals.
St. Louis Rams.
No, it's the Rams.
Oh, so it's the Rams and the Bears. Damn, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Damn. So, I guess I'll switch my pick. I'll go with Chicago, but I'll be looking for Jeff Fisher to put, you know, to put Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery on their back. I'll be looking for that to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think Courtland Finnegan is going to try to get in Brandon Marshall's head.
And it's going
to
be real easy.
He's a physical guy.
And it's going to be real easy.
Well,
real easy.
We'll
because
see,
that, dude,
see if you mature.
That dude plays football with a slip on.
All right. St. Louis allows 234 points. Chicago has allowed 267. Chicago has scored 282 points. St. Louis has scored 224. So it says that Chicago should win this game. I think not. Playing in St. Louis, the team is built for turf, and I've always said speed kills. I like St. Louis.
Not so fast, as Lee Corso would say. Okay, I'm chilling with that. We got about 7 minutes left alive air. We're going to do the rest of this lineup in overtime. But the next game on the docket is Jerry's J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm quite surprised he hasn't jumped back on their bandwagon to destroy Houston.
Let me inform you. I talked about this with a client of mine two or three days ago. When he started talking to me about the Jets, and I told him I had switched teams, and he was probably the first person that told me I respect you for doing that. He said him being a Cincinnati Bengal fan, he had thought about changing his team a few years back and couldn't do it, but he respects a person that can actually make that change for being a fan for so long. And I also told him, when he asked me, how do you feel when you're watching them play, I said, you know what, when I watch them play, it's like watching any other football game except for my Texans. I don't have any allegiance. I don't feel anything different. I'm just watching a football game because I like watching football. And that's my response to you when you say you're surprised I'm not jumping back on the bandwagon, because the passion I had for my Jets has been there, now left, and they're just another football team.
Okay. Spoken like a true former alcoholic. Okay.
it is what it is. Again, your analysis is flawed.
Whatever. We've got 5 minutes left of air, live air. We're going to do the rest of the stuff in overtime. But what I want to do right now is I want to say thank you to all those who were listening to the show. Live. We're here every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Sundays, we got the Master Plan, DT18 and Money. 10 a.m. Eastern Time. JT, what you got going on this week?
Well, we jumped into a conversation last week, and I didn't get the chance to go completely into all the sneaky picks or whatever. We're getting closer to the playoffs, so I'm going to be back on that bandwagon again with sneaky picks and teams, players that can help you if you don't have, if you're missing in one category, weak in one category, and you need to pick somebody up. I'm going to give you a few players that you may pick up that are still sitting on the waiver wire that can help you hopefully get into the playoffs or succeed in the playoffs.
All right, all right, all right. I might call and I might not. Depends on if I decide to go to church at 8 o'clock or not. Then on Monday, I'm not sure if we're going to do a show this week because Sylvia's dealing with some things, but Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Every Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Great show, great information. Always something uplifting. Last Monday, we did a holiday movie review, whereas we talked about Best Man Holiday, which I thought was a very, very good movie. We talked about 12 Years a Slave. We wrote about a whole different direction of topic, which we talked about. We talked about Thor and I believe one other flick. But, yeah, it's a very good show. Check it out, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. You never know who's going to show up there. Then on this Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving, and I don't think the crew's going to do a show because they're going to be full of turducken, turkey, chicken, and duck, and they're going to have a little tryptophan ready to go to sleep. So I'm going to leave that up to Jerry if he wants to do a live show. Jeff said
there won't be a live show on Thursday or Friday.
Oh, okay. There will be or will not be?
There will not be a live show on Thursday nor Friday.
All right. Okay. And I noticed that this past Friday only one person called in, so I figured that was you.
Because we had a replay, because the host had a guest that was supposed to come on, and the guest had to cancel, and he decided to cancel the live show for me to play a replay.
All right, whatever is clever. However you're going to do it, you manage it. You're the right-hand man. But Thursday, FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be inundated with football, at least here on the West Coast, from 9 a.m. till, I believe, 7 p.m. There will be nothing but football going on in this house, along with some turkey and some food and stuff. But regularly, Thursday, 8 p.m. Then on Friday, No Chaser, Mac Williams, and Jerry Taylor, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Very surprised that a topic wasn't discussed as far as JFK assassination. But rerun was ran, whatever. We'll see what happens coming up, because the primaries have come and gone, and it looks like the Republicans lost a lot of seats and a lot of districts and a lot of governor and mayor positions. I'm just saying, get in where you fit in. Then you're back here every Saturday. I'm about to say No Chaser. Fantasy Sports and Politics, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with me and Mises FSB and JTATM Money on the 6th. Excuse me, on the 7th, I will not be here. We're going to be doing that. But we will be. We'll get this stuff taken care of. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you. And hopefully on Thanksgiving, you will have Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com live and ready to roll. We are just a few things away from that happening. If not by Thanksgiving, oh, most assuredly, by November 30th, we'll go live. Enjoy your betting from your bedroom, from your toilet, wherever you want to go. Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com, our new sponsor. All right, we're about to go into overtime. Let's get to the JTES, Jets. going to Baltimore. Again, I said Baltimore. I surprised us last week in that tornado situation in Chicago, and ran Ray Rice. Ray Rice, I believe, he went over the 100-yard mark for the first time in total yards and one touchdown. I don't see that happening against the Jets, even though it's at home. And Helter Skelter is the way the Jets have been playing, especially Geno Smith, and to the point where people have been talking about Geno maybe having to sit down or Rex is getting frustrated with him. I'm not sure. Jerry's in the New York, New Jersey area, so we can talk about it. But I honestly think that the Jets are in this mess. I think they do. Mr. Moore.
Did you say me?
Jets at Baltimore. Yes.
Oh.
Jets at Baltimore.
Man, this is a toss-up game, but I'm going to go with Baltimore because they're at home. And that's the only reason. Jets defense, you know, they playing pretty solid, but I don't know about Geno, so. That's all I got on that one. I'm going with Baltimore. Beat Mo Kelton.
All right, the Jets' MO was win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, which equates to 5-5. That's what they've done for the last 10 weeks, win one, lose one. So because they lost in a catastrophic form last week, it only makes sense to think that they're going to win this week. Although they don't do well playing Baltimore. They don't play well against Baltimore, even though Rex Ryan's defense against Joe Flacco has success. Jets have only scored 183 points, given up 268. Baltimore is a little more stout on defense, giving up only 212 points. Hasn't scored that many more points, only scored 208 points. I think the deciding factor, unfortunately, for the Jets fans, and fortunately for the Baltimore fans, as they're playing at home, I agree that they're not going to be able to run the ball against a top five defense of the Jets. That means they're going to rely more on Joe Flacco. The Jets can be burnt on the pass. I have to go with Baltimore.
Got a quick question before
sure.
we move on. Now, I know Ed Reed just signed with the Jets, but on Madden, they haven't gone to Minnesota. So I'm like, did I miss something this week? Did they cut Mr. Reed
no.
and he went to Minnesota or something?
No, Ed Reed is on the New York Jets.
Jets. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering why they did that. That's kind of
I crazy. Have no idea.
But anyway. All right. And I think Ed Reed's going to be a big difference in this game when Joe Flacco tries to throw the ball. He's going to see that old gray-haired silverback back there, and he knows he intercepts them in practice, so I don't think there's going to be any change in this game. All right. Tennessee at Oakland. Now, the kid out of, I believe, is a kid out of Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken, the Oakland quarterback who's stepped in through 3 touchdowns last week, Jacoby Ford, looks like he's not going to play. He's injured. Rod Streeter looks like he's the man out there. Mike Rivera, the tight end, might get a little bit of time. Greg Jennings. Oakland, surprisingly, with its second and third string players, have been more competitive over the last 3 weeks than they have in the past 2 years. Tennessee, I'm not sure what happened, how they broke down last week, but they just fell apart. Chris Johnson did a great job in that game, but they still lost. Does Fitzpatrick have what it takes to come into Oakland and beat the Raiders? I'm going to pick Tennessee in this game because I like Chris Johnson being able to run on the Raiders and doing well against them. I'm not sold on this quarterback for the Raiders. He's a rookie, third stringer coming in. His best wide receiving threat is doubtful. There's just too many what-ifs for me with Oakland, so I'm going with Tennessee. Michael, what you got?
I have no idea who's going to win this game. I really don't. But since Oakland is not starting Mr. Pryor, from what I gather,
he's hurt.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee. I'm going to go with Tennessee reluctantly.
All right. Brian Hoyer, Matt McGloin, Scott Tolzien, Case Keenum, four rookie quarterbacks, Mike Glennon, four rookie quarterbacks. And believe it or not, out of those rookie quarterbacks, Mike Glennon is tearing them up, believe it or not. Rookie quarterbacks, trust me, they jump in here, and for the most part, maybe one game, like Scott Tolzien had a tough game. But after that, these rookie quarterbacks have been playing extremely well. Tennessee is going into a buzzsaw. Oakland Raiders in the black hole are riding a high and have gotten two different type of quarterbacks, pretty consistent play. First it was Terrell Pryor, and he's banged up, but They bring in another quarterback who's a traditional drop-back quarterback with a hell of an arm and an accurate one at that, and picks up the baton and goes with it and surprised the Houston Texans. So what I'm saying is this: Tennessee comes in here and gets a loss. I like the Oakland Raiders.
The Raiders. All right. To a game that's very interesting to me and has his playoff implications. Really, it does. And we're only talking week 12. Indianapolis goes to Arizona. Arizona 6-4. Bruce Arians has that entire Arizona state buzzing about the team. He's stuck to his guns with Rashad Mendenhall. He's surprisingly Andre Ellington hasn't gotten much run. I'm not sure why. And Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd had a very big, big game last week. Now, he's supposed to be nicked up. Is he ready to help Larry Fitz or supplant Larry Fitz? I don't know. But Carson Palmer has three straight games of 400 yards passing. Two of them with no interceptions. They're playing at home. Andy does not play well on the road. Even though, you know, here's a problem. Here's a problem I see right now. T.Y. Hilton is not better than Patrick Peterson. Darius Haywood Bey is not better than the Honey Badger. Okay? That's where your matchups lie. And that's why I'm going to pick Arizona to win this game, because I just don't think that. And Indianapolis starts slow. They really start slow. They pick it up in the second half. They start really slow. I don't think they're going to have that luxury this week playing Arizona, because Arizona starts fast. So we shall see what happens. But I'm picking Arizona to win this game and bring me closer to $100. Mr. Moore.
Where are they playing?
Arizona.
Arizona.
Ooh. Then you got Mr. Arians down there who pretty much can get inside of Mr. Luck's head. Ooh.
Yeah. Was offensive coordinator last year and head coach for a while.
Oh. I know. That's a tough one. Arizona's playing some good ball. Not great ball, just good ball.
Good enough.
Yeah. I'm reluctantly having to agree with my cousin and going with the Arizona.
Reluctantly having to agree. It's all right. Okay.
Well, Arizona's one of the better defenses in the league. But they only score a little bit more than they give up. Playing in Arizona, unfortunately, I have to agree with Victor. His analysis, I don't think, is flawed in this one. I have to go to Arizona. It just you can't keep starting slow and then try to make it up before the game is over in the fourth quarter. Sooner or later, you're going to run up against a buzzsaw and a very good defense that's not going to allow you to do that. I do believe Arizona is one of those teams. I like Arizona in this game. Close game, but I think Arizona can pull it out, and their defense helps them win it.
Okay. Let's travel to the Middle Lands, where Jerry's going to be sitting in one of them seats, rooting for the Giants as they take on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Giants got a chance to beat up on a lackluster team last week. I believe they beat Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure.
Yep, they beat Green Bay. You're right.
Green Bay. And Green Bay has Scott Tolzien, who threw three touchdowns, but also two interceptions. One was a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Lacy didn't go off on the Giants' defense, which is surprising to me. Very surprising to me that he didn't get a chance to go off on that defense. Now, the question is, will Dallas run DeMarco Murray? Another disappointment, fantasy-wise, this year. DeMarco Murray. I just think that Dallas has too much firepower, even though their defense isn't that good. I think it's a better defense than the Giants, and that's the sad part, because it's two bad defenses. But I think they have just enough to pull out the victory over the Giants in the Middle Lands. Hakeem Nicks is getting frustrated because he's supposed to be a free agent, and they're not getting him the ball. Victor Cruz is doing what he does. But Andre Brown is the key factor in this game. Can he run against that defense? Sean Lee might not play, the talented middle linebacker. And if he doesn't play, and the Cowboys play a cover two, which is a bend but don't break defense, there's going to be tons of yards that the Giants are going to get. What will they get in the end zone? I don't know. I think Dallas is the best team in the division right now, and I'm going to pick them to win the game. Mike.
I am going with the New York Giants. New York Giants have a momentum shift. They look a little hungry, and they fit in their M.O., but they are fitting their M.O. in the most lackluster way, but they always start slow. They always come back kicking and scraping and figuring out and then wind up winning and doing this and that. This shit is just absolutely – it's been just absolutely atrocious for them. But I still think that they can turn this corner. And, I just don't have any belief in the fact that the Cowboys can, truthfully take control of this division like they should. I have no beliefs in that. We're coming down to the ending stretch of the schedule, and the Cowboys normally what they do is they're always hot and on the top in November or rising to the top in November, and as soon as December comes around or the last three games come around, they choke. And that's what I'm predicting, and this game is going to be the beginning of them choking.
All right. Let me put these guys right on the block. Josh Freeman, combination of a hurt Michael Vick and Matt Barkley, Terrell Pryor, and Scott Tolzien. That's the last five quarterbacks that the Giants have faced. Not a murderer's row, not even close to a murderer's row in quarterbacks that they face. And in my opinion, when you only score 192 points up until this point and give up 256 that the Giants have with a Dallas Cowboys team that's coming off a bye, division rivalry, and wanting to win to be able to keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles, this to me is a no-brainer. This is the first test for the Giants, supposedly revival of the Giants, when they really haven't played a pro-level type of quarterback, to so to speak. They have Tony Romo now, who's always been able to put up numbers against the Giants. And the Giants, when they've only not even scored 200 points in 10 games, that's less than 20 points a game, they're going to lose this game. I like Dallas.
Let's go to the big game of weekend, Sunday night. They've played many, many times. Brady has the head-to-head matchup win total. Manning has the yards and touchdowns. Manning brings in the 9-1 Broncos for the Brady. 7-2 or 7-3. And I said this before in the beginning of the season. My cousin and I went back and forth about it. Everybody jumped on me about it. A lot of teams missed an opportunity to bury the Patriots, and they should have.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Brady, I know. Brady has his full complement of players. If not for a bad call, there would have been one more play versus Carolina, and I think they would have won. But in this game, I see a bad streak for the Patriots going on. Bad streak. New England's going to lose this game. It's not going to be close. It's not. Aqib Talib, okay. Pick your poison, Aqib. You're going to cover Bebe? Okay, cool. Devin McCourtney, you're a safety. Are you going to cover Eric Decker? Okay. Who's going to cover West? Who's going to cover Thomas? Then with Gerard Mayo out and Wolfric out, who's going to stop Knowshon Moreno from running the ball? The best bet for New England Patriots is to run the ball. Stephen Ridley has fallen out of favor a little bit. Shane Vereen has come back. He was targeted a lot last week. Shane Vereen is going to be a big part of this game. They're going to have to run that kid. Him, LeGarrette Blount. This, and a lot of people were like, and I was listening to analysts, were saying that they were surprised that Gronkowski didn't get a lot of looks against Carolina. That's because they needed to protect. They were running the ball. I look for a very similar game plan. This keep explosive Manning and all that offense on the sideline. But I'm looking for the Broncos to win this game. And I'm looking for a lot of points. A lot of points. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm gonna have to agree with you, not because of your analysis, but because
you know what?
The Broncos are just, you know, they're just a better team right now, just all the way around. They're a better team. However, you know, you can't discount Brady and the Patriots in this game. Because if you have Brady on your team, you have a puncher's chance, and the Patriots have just typified in the past years. In my estimation, is just straight shit kickers. I mean, they just keep finding a way to either win or to
yep.
be where they need to be, whether it's by luck or by default, what have you. They still find a way to beat it. So. I'm not gonna not going to go ahead and say that the Broncos are going to just destroy the Patriots, because I don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe the Broncos should win this game, and we should know by, you know, the end of the third quarter who's won this game.
That would be considered a blowout, Mike. If you're saying
no, that's not a blowout. No, that's not a blowout, Victor. That's three quarters.
I know that. But if you're saying you should know who wins.
A blowout is if it's over in the first or second quarter. That's a blowout. Not even close.
Point differential.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Victor.
Whatever.
Go ahead. Point differential.
All I'm telling you is that if you're saying it's going to be over by the third quarter, that's 15 minutes.
I didn't say that.
You're saying it won't matter.
See, this is why you have bad analysis. I said we will know who wins this game by the end of the third quarter. I did not say the game will be over in the third quarter. I did not say that.
What's
I said if you will know
what's
who wins.
By saying,
it's a big difference. It's a big difference.
Well, I'm asking you, what is it? I'm asking you, what is the difference?
The difference is the winner will differentiate themselves by the end of the third quarter. You will know who's going to win. The game won't be over, but you're going to know who's going to win by the end of the third quarter. There's a big difference in saying that the game is over. If I was to say that the game is over in the third quarter, that would be me totally discounting Mr. Brady and his fourth quarter heroics. I can't do that.
So basically you're saying momentum. You're talking about momentum.
No, I'm not saying momentum. I'm saying you should know by the third quarter that the Broncos are going to win this game. Period, point blank. I'm not discounting.
And I'm asking you, how is that? How are you quantifying that? By what? By what method are you saying?
I'm quantifying it by saying this. Number one, it's first. You're gonna have you know your typical back and forth in the first and second quarter. By the time the third quarter comes around, there's going to be enough adjustments that'll be made by that third quarter for the Broncos to clearly differentiate themselves from the Patriots by the end of it. But I'm not saying that the game will be over, because I cannot discount the fact that Brady can come back in the fourth quarter. Okay? I can't say that.
Okay, because that sounds like momentum. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Again,
Victor, just take what I said. Don't try to analyze what I said. Listen to what I said. It's not for you to analyze it, because every time if you analyze it, you're going to be incorrect. I said something and I purposely left wiggle room for something else. Exactly.
I deal with definitive. I'm like Spock.
No,
so
you
ahead,
don't.
Please.
Don't let me get Jerry in here talking about you and your definitives and how you be dancing around what bets you made, what you did.
I got proof.
You got no proof, Victor. So don't even go. I don't even go there. You have no proof. I have more substantial evidence on my side than you do on your. Absolutely,
you
but see
go.
That's it's purely subjective.
That's a different story.
Excuse me.
I said that's a different story. But go ahead. Let's pick this game. We got one more left.
The point differential between New England is 55 for and against, scoring 55 more points than they allow. The point differential for Denver is a 143, the amount of points that Denver scores to the amount of points that they allow. This is a no-brainer to me, Denver.
All right. So let's move on to the last game of the weekend, or football weekend. San Fran travels to Landover, Maryland, face the Washington Redskins. San Fran has taken a couple of losses that, you know, really they bite because they could have been prevented. You know, they won, they've beaten the people they're supposed to beat, and they've lost to some teams that are proving that they're no slouch. And they still have to play Seattle, a couple other teams. This is why I don't think the 49ers make the playoffs. Again, they got to play Seattle twice, and there's a lot more competition there. Here's my problem. Here's my problem. Redskins can't stop the run. They can't. And even though Mario Moneyham is back, and he gave us fits when he played with the Giants, Anquan Boldin and Hall are going to be a good matchup. Wilson versus Manningham's going to be a good matchup. But I just see Vernon Davis going all. He's a Washington, D.C. native, so you know the stands are going to be packed for him and his family. But I don't see us stopping him with Ryan Kerrigan or Rappo or Riley or anybody else, and also being able to stop the run. On the flip side, San Fran hasn't been that good against the run this year. Good defense is not good enough against the run. Will the Redskins run out the course? Will they? I don't know. Will RG3 decide to just take it all on his shoulders and try to win the game? I don't know. But pick the Redskins with the points. I don't know if you want to pick them head up, but I mean straight up. But I want to pick my skin. This is a heartfelt pick. This is a heartfelt pick. I'm picking the Redskins with the points to defeat the 49ers. Go ahead, Mike.
This game don't look good for the Redskins at all. It don't. The reason why it don't is because the Redskins notoriously have problems with tight ends. And you got Vernon Davis coming in that don't. It don't look good. I had to disagree with my cousin about the Redskins stopping the run. The Redskins stopping the run is not their problem. The Redskins cannot defend the pass at all. We cannot defend the pass. This is like ridiculous. You know, every time the Chiefs will get a running back will get in there and they'll pop them or they'll gang tackle or do something here and do something like that. But in every game, every Redskin game, there's most 20-yard throws against the defense, and it's just pathetic. It's really pathetic. I hate to pick against the Redskins here. I really do hate picking against them. But I just don't see what they're going to be able to do with my man Vernon Davis. And, yeah, he is coming home or whatever. And then the Redskins offense, man, I am just really getting tired of Kyle Shanahan. He need to get that thing together, man. He really do. He really needs to get that together. And he is really pretty much the problem that's happening. I mean, I don't understand why, I'm sitting there predicting the plays myself. Well, if I'm sitting there at home looking at my screen, with my popcorn throwing it at the television screen, screaming what the play is going to be, I damn well know that the defense can see it. I know they can read it as well. They need to get that together. There's been a lot, said in the media about the back and forth and stuff between the Redskin players and stuff. Look, let me tell you straight up, there's not anything going on in that locker room. It really isn't. The problem is that Robert Griffin is just speaking. He's being too candid, and he's young. He's young. He's 23 years old. He's being too candid. Last, this offseason, Younger was trying to get it back, And, you know, he worked valiantly to get back, but, you know, he didn't do no developing. He didn't do no developing. Not, these are not excuses. This is just explaining what's happening. Just an explanation. Because at the end of the day, on Sunday, the bottom line, they got to get out there and perform. And they not performing. You know, you got Santana Moss dropping balls. You got Pierre Garçon been dropping balls, too. So, I mean, he's been playing his heart out, but he's been dropping balls as well. They're going to get... They're going to get your man, what's his name, the tight end. I forgot his name. I think his last name is Davis, too. We're going to get him back out there. But I don't
mean Davis,
see him.
You mean Davis or George?
Yeah. Nah, Davis. Fred Davis. Dang, that's how bad. I forgot all about his name. But Fred Davis should be back out there. But I don't look for him to do too much because he doesn't bail RG3 out, and he doesn't run precise routes at all. Got no faith in him at all. But like I said, I'm going with San Francisco.
All right. Excuse me. The Washington Redskins defense, and this is to back up what McCall is saying, is 19th against the rush and 26th against the pass. That's how bad they are against the pass. Their point differential is minus 65 compared to San Francisco, which is plus 69. Jordan Reed is out for this week. He's not going to be playing. So just like McCall was saying, they're going to have Fred Davis out there, and that's going to be a problem because Fred Davis is very limited in what he does. And he's been discontent about playing time and wanted to get traded, so supposedly. That was said a few weeks ago. So I don't know how motivated he's going to be to go out there and do what he needs to do to be successful and for the Redskins to be successful in trying to win this game, which they're not going to do, unfortunately. I like the San Francisco 49ers in this game.
All right. Not a problem. That ends this week. However, we're about...
Say that
quickly,
again?
Just pick a winner, because that ends this week. We'll pick a winner for Thursday games, because we got to get out of here. Thursday games, Green Bay at Detroit. I'm going to pick Green Bay. I think the man that called Rodgers will be back. Hopefully he is. If he is not, I will put the nail in my own coffin and pick Detroit. So my pick is for Green Bay if Rodgers is there. If he's not, I'm going to pick Detroit. Oakland at Dallas, I'm picking Dallas. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, I'm picking Pittsburgh. Let's go. Go ahead. Green Bay at Detroit.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I'm going to take the Cowpuke, and Victor said, if Aaron Rodgers plays, Green Bay will win. If he doesn't play, the Lions will get their first win on Thanksgiving in about 145
years.
Okay. I'm picking Baltimore at Baltimore. I'm picking Dallas at home against Dallas. And I'm picking
Oakland.
They're playing in Oakland. Or, they're playing in Oakland or playing at Dallas?
No, they're playing in Dallas, dude.
Okay, I'm playing.
No! I thought you said I'm picking Dallas. Who's playing against Dallas? I'm sorry, my bad.
Did I? If I said that, then that I was mistaken. But I'm picking Dallas, and I'm picking Detroit because Aaron Rodgers will not be back by Thanksgiving. He will not be back by Thanksgiving.
Mr. FSP, I'm surprised you hadn't made a comment about what's going on tonight. I was really looking forward to you
about
to make
Mr.
a
Pacquiao?
Comment on it. Yeah.
I don't have time to discuss
Pacquiao.
That. We're in overtime. He's gonna beat Popeye or whatever his name is. He's gonna beat him. I mean, I don't think it's gonna be a knockout. But he'll win. He's going to win because of the most of that money is going to the Philippine relief situation. So he's fighting. I mean, he's going to get paid regardless, but he wants to put on a good show for his people of the Philippines, and most of that money's going, especially since he's a senator. So, you know, I don't have much to say about it.
Oh, I got plenty to say. Mr. Pacquiao.
Well, you can join in Jerry tomorrow when Jerry breaks down his sneaky picks and discuss the fight then.
All I want to say is Mr. Pacquiao, he loses either way with this fight. If he wins, you know, he's still not going to generate that much money from this fight. Mr. Pacquiao has fought three fights since the offer for his $40 million with Mayweather has come up, you know, just went under the rug and just got destroyed. And in these three fights, he still hasn't made $40 million. So, the boxing community really don't care what's going to happen in this fight, and that's a shame for Pacquiao. That is the big shame here.
I'm glad you feel that way. Pac-Man, out. All right, that was Mike's parting shot. What you got, Jerry, before we go?
Let's go, Detroit.
Not gonna happen.
They're playing at home, Victor. They're winning at home.
Not gonna happen, dude.
Absolutely.
Not gonna happen.
That's you wishing. That's not you knowing. They're definitely going to win against Tampa Bay.
Oh, fuck. Tampa Bay.
Revis is getting back, but he's not. The old Revis, and on that turf, Chad Johnson's going to have a field day. Last time they faced off each other,
and I know it's two different defenses because one was with the Jets and they were very formidable. Calvin was held to one catch.
That was last
one catch.
Calvin, let me put it this way: who has risen their game up, and whose game has declined?
It's okay. It's all right.
Okay. Okay. You didn't answer the question, so obviously you know what
answer
is.
I mean, I agree with you, but you would still rather have Antonio Brown over Calvin, so that's the end of that.
I never said that, so don't even try to squeeze that in real quick. Don't even try to squeeze that in real quick. Excuse me?
You're non-committal.
What do you mean non-committal?
So anyway.
No, you're trying to put words in my mouth. I'm telling you, if it comes between those two, I would rather have Calvin Johnson overall. But if Antonio Brown is on the team versus Emmanuel Jericho Cotchery, Antonio Brown is the number one wide receiver. It's not close. It's not close.
Here's a question. I'm not saying that. I said the dude's not a number one receiver. That's basically what I'm saying. But
there is
I don't
want to
get into it too much. I don't want to get into it too much. I ain't going to get into it too much. Because
you're going to lose. That's why.
No, because you would. Would you pick Antonio Brown?
Excuse me?
Would you pick Antonio Brown over Pierre Garçon?
Yes. Absolutely. He runs better routes, and he's got more quicks. Absolutely.
With that being said, I got to play this.
Absolute power.
Corrupts.
Absolutely.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much, because you're wrong. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. For JTATM Money, my cousin Macau. I want to thank everybody for listening to us. Check us out every Saturday, 1:30
Saturday
time. We've got plenty more information and entertainment for you. Remember, Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com coming up real soon. Real soon. Place your wages. Enjoy the game. Till next week, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place.
So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little view, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.